Our sponsor today is none other than our Patreon members. You folks are bringing swords and HEMA to listeners worldwide, so thank you. To support our work and receive exclusive benefits, visit patreon.com/swordwomen. Welcome to By the Sword, where we discuss the modern study of historical European martial arts, or HEMA, with instructors, experts, and martial artists from all over the world. I'm Fran LaQuarta, the host of this podcast, and I was recently invited to attend one of the most out-of-this-world sword events, Swordpunk. Somewhere between a martial arts camp and a festival, Swordpunk takes place in rural Warwickshire, UK, at the beginning and end of each summer. The inclusive and environmentally responsible ethos makes for a super welcoming atmosphere. And even though I attended on my own, I was soon chatting to lots of new friends. Whether it's circus skills, blacksmithing, swordplay, or axe throwing, this friendly and relaxed event has something for everyone. It's a chance to strip off the mediocre mundanity of the 9-to-5 world, grab a bladed weapon, and dance with fire. Quite literally, if the spectacular evening entertainment is anything to go by. I took the opportunity to chat to the instructors, attendees, and organisers behind Swordpunk to find out what makes this event so different and special. Hi, I'm here with Miles from Spear Turtle Animations, and Miles is documenting the event for the weekend. We're just hooking together a drone. We're going to do a flyover of the entire site, taking the lakes and all the classes that are going on. So, Miles, tell me, how long have you been coming to Swordpunk?
I've been coming to Swordpunk for years now. I can't remember exactly how many. I think it's the second Swordpunk was the first one I ever came to, and I haven't missed one since. Yeah.
And is this the first time you've been roped in or volunteered?
No, I've been doing record. The videos. I've been doing the videos for the media, the online stuff for Swordpunk for about 3 years now. Mm-hmm. I started just making video stuff for my group that came, and then Dan just asked me to do it for the place in general. And yeah, I've been doing that ever since.
So we've got the drone, you've got some photography, some video going on,
Yeah, we've got a cameraman going around. We've got, I'm about to fly the drone. Got my own GoPro with me. And, sometimes when people are out on the lake having a swim and some of them in the boats, you kind of jump in and have a film of people having a play around in the lake as well.
Oh, yeah, because there's the boat jousting on Sunday, isn't
there? Yes, the boat jousting on Sunday. So that's we tend to film from the water sometimes. So I just, grab the GoPro, jump in myself and film from there.
Get really stuck in.
Exactly, get stuck in, yeah.
So it's from a filmmaking perspective, it's quite a dramatic opportunity to record stuff.
Absolutely, yeah.
And what for you is, what is Swordpunk to you?
Swordpunk's, I absolutely love Swordpunk. It's like coming home. And there's so many friends made over the years of coming here. I keep coming back. And it's just all the different things that you can do and learn here with lots of people that are really friendly, and it's a brilliant place. I kind of can't recommend it more.
Brilliant, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So I'm here with Willow and her daughter Anwen, who are here. Is this your first time here?
Third time.
So tell us what keeps bringing you back to Swordpunk.
Everybody is just so friendly, mm-hmm. and so much fun, and you get to try loads of different things that you might not necessarily have thought about before, like circus skills. I would never have thought that was interesting, but it's really good fun.
Because the way that it runs is like you do a sort of program, don't you?
You get divided into groups, like with coloured wristbands and different time slots, different areas, lots of different things. Like you do the close work, long range weapons like archery, guns, whatever, and then of course there's the sword stuff as well, which is fantastic,
which is what it's all about. Exactly. And what classes have you done today?
We've just done whips, and we've just finished cutting as well with swords.
You've just done the clay cutting?
Yes. Yeah, with bell cut blades.
Did you get the whips to go crack?
A couple of times.
Yeah. Anna was better than me this time. It was good.
Is there anything here this year that you haven't seen before?
You are doing
me.
Polar. and I'm really looking forward to
oh,
that.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, that's going to be fun. But, yeah.
Yeah, three lots of pole acts tomorrow. I said to Dan, what do you want me to do? I can do sword and buckler, I can do rapier, I can do longsword, I can do greatsword, I can do pole axe. He's like, three lots of pole axe, please. So,
yeah, we're definitely looking forward to that one. And the axe throwing, because axe throwing is always a good one for us.
I went knife
throwing. Yes.
And are you camping people? Or
yes, we are.
You're good at it?
Yes, we do go camping quite a lot. And I don't do this crap camping. We have proper beds. And
proper
stuff.
Beds, yeah. Not air beds. And I mean,
who wants to lie on the floor?
I borrowed a tent from a friend. It's 40 kilos of tent. But it was worth it to have a tent I can stand
up
in.
We have brought our small tent this time because I've got my truck as well. So we're like, we might sleep in the truck, we might sleep in the tent. But normally if there's like not just a couple of nights, we might sleep Airbnb tent, which is super comfy. But we are roughing it a little bit this time.
Yeah.
Did bring our own toilet though.
Oh my goodness, got your own toilet. That is not roughing it.
Yeah, but there's roughing it and there's compost loos with 4 days.
What are they like after? Oh, I won't ask.
To be honest, they are pretty good at looking after them. I saw Ange, the lovely bar lady, and the wonderful person that she is, wandering down there earlier to give them a good once over and a clean. So
I'm quite pro compost loo, I have to say.
Yeah,
they're a lot less smelly than regular toilets.
Lockable doors and lights at night. So it's not too bad.
So what happens in the evenings at Saltpunk?
Well, usually there's the fire ring there, which on a Saturday night is a massive performance. They have belly dancers and people fighting with lots of different weapons that are on fire. People get to duel with Dan, which is always a good laugh. And it's just...
That's fun.
Yeah, and costumes. Costumes are incredible.
Are you two dressing up?
I forgot half of my costume.
Oh, no.
So I'm half dressing up. You've got yours, haven't you?
Yes. Yeah,
but there's some spectacular costumes.
I'm looking
have
forward
you
to
yours.
I have brought a costume, but unfortunately, I have to leave on Saturday afternoon, and I know Saturday night
but
is the
can,
big
but
night.
You can dress up any night. People were dressed up last night.
I might do it last. I might do it tonight. So, yeah, lovely talking to you both. Have a great
Thank
time.
You too. Oh.
So I'm here with Alicia from Balefire Blades. Hi, Alicia.
Hello.
And this year, Balefire are doing a cutting stand. So they're cutting, got folks cutting a blob, a three-year-old blob of clay. Will we call him Sir Blob?
We call him Sir Lump.
Sir Lump, okay. And how many times have you been to Swordpunk now?
So this is my third visit. The first time we came, we were running a little forging stand. People could forge a little hook. And then we brought the clay stand in last event, and it was a roaring success, so we got asked to bring it back. It's a pleasure to do so.
And you really know your onions when it comes to cutting, because I think you've done it so many times. Like you say, the lump is 3 years old. Everyone gets to try two different long swords and an arming sword. And Chris has very cleverly constructed a strap for the wrist so that should the novice cutter lose control or let go of it for any reason, it doesn't come flying out of their hands, which is pretty clever.
And our stand's in front of the lake, so we don't want any
limbs.
Lady of the Lake moments.
Lady of the Lake moments. Yeah, we don't want the sword going into the lake. I was going to say bits of people flying off into the lake.
Yes, it's always fun to take people through this. At Swordpunk, we have a lot of people who've never held a sword before, and people who are very experienced in some area of HEMA or another. And so to see just where everybody's at and to show them maybe something new that they haven't tried before with a sword, it's just always exciting to see the look on someone's face the first time they knock a lump off the clay.
And have you got any swords for sale here this weekend?
We've brought a longsword. We've got in the Emporium. It's a sort of classic medieval longsword, a disc pommel. And we're seeing if anybody's interested. It's always nice to bring a few bits and
leave it there all weekend until someone snaps it up. I'm sure they will.
Rarely an impulse buy is a sword.
Yeah, give them time to think about it.
And you've got also, of course, Lycan Leatherworks.
Yes. So I've brought a few of my leather bits and bobs to sell, some sword belts, like the one I'm wearing
here. I've got my eye on those. Those are amazing.
I love being able to, you know, queue for dinner or go to the bar with my sword on. It's one of the few events where that's normal and no one's going to pull you to one side.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't you go to the bar with your sword on? What else are you going to do with it?
And I feel like that's the heart of this event for me, is just the feeling of it's not pretending to be exciting, otherworldly people, like we genuinely are while we're here. This is our society, it's for real. Mm-hmm. This is our economy.
And it's so relaxed.
Yeah.
So chilled, like you were saying, people can just turn up. Can I join in?
Just have a bash. Yeah.
Have a go.
We always come with a plan to make everything nice and structured, and then by the end of it, it's just any takers.
Yeah.
You over there, would you like to wield a sword?
Come and have a go.
Yes.
So yeah, that's kind of like the spirit of the thing. Thank you for talking to me.
Thank you very much.
I'm here with one of the instructors, Russ, whose workshop is on circus skills. So tell us how circus skills fits into sword punk.
Welcome to Trickster's Corner. That was Dan's name for it. He just wanted some different manipulation skills to be brought into sword punk for something less violent, yeah. I suppose. The first thing I started with was teaching staff spinning. So instead of staff combat, we do staff spinning as a flow, as a sort of performance type piece, especially with the fire show that we'll see tonight and tomorrow with staff and poi and that kind of thing. And yeah, I started teaching staff and poi and other flow art type things and moved on to teaching juggling as well. And then today we've been doing Diablo and hat manipulation and stuff, and it's just kind of grown out of it. And for the last 5 sword punks, Trickster's Corner has just been a thing that's been here now, teaching people some interesting and different skills. And
It's just perfectly normal to do circus skills alongside, well, like you say, it's all physical activity, it's all bodily movement and control of your body.
Precisely, yeah. Yeah, and like it's a lot less, like, control of your body is incredibly important in sword fighting for many and obvious reasons, but like one of the big ones is obviously safety. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry as much about safety when the juggling balls are really, really soft.
Yeah.
So people can come to Trickster's Corner and it's a lot less mentally intensive, I suppose, because you're throwing a soft thing. So if you make a mistake, it's fine. If you make a mistake in sword fighting, you don't want to accidentally hurt someone. Yeah. So it's kind of a little bit of the mental load comes off, and it's a bit of a little break, I suppose, over
and
here.
And it's zero confrontation. It's not a confrontational activity.
Yeah, exactly. It's all very collaborative, and it's one of the things I love the most about juggling. When I get together with my other juggling friends for conventions and clubs and things, it's super collaborative, and everyone is building on the juggling that other people are doing. I've learned all my tricks from other people. I have very few tricks I know that I made up myself. Only things I've seen and other people have shown me and shared and that kind of thing, and I love it.
So that kind of picking up things from other people seems to be a common theme throughout the event.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the amount of instructors we have here, you know, teaching so many different skills, yourself included, of course, you know, and yeah, it's nice to have so many different things. And every year there's more, like Screamer Sticks are new this time. The Atlatl was new a few years ago. I've been here for a while, but obviously I came after the swords, which was the first thing. So have you seen the timetable? There's so many things on. I've heard people complaining they can't do all of it.
Yeah.
And that's really nice, because hopefully they'll come back next year and do more. And I'll change from juggling and Diablo to juggling and staff, or juggling and poi, or balance and something else.
Have you seen many new faces this year?
Yeah, loads. I normally don't come for setup because normally I have something else on, but I managed to make it for setup this year, and I got to do the registration desk, which it turns out is one of the funnest jobs here because I get to sit here and see 100 people come in and say hello to all the people I've seen before and say hello to all the people who are new. And yeah, there's a whole lot of new faces, a whole lot of old friends as well. But yeah, it's always been a mix of people who are new and who are sort of returning. And it's also lots and lots of people return. There's loads of people who are new this time, but there's loads of people who've come for one and then just keep coming back, which is amazing. You know, some people obviously don't make it every time, so there's a lot of missing friends here this weekend, but lots of present friends as well. And I'm sure I'll see the people who are missing this one at the next one.
When you were working on the reception desk, there's, living in a pandemic, of course, there's the added 15-minute wait of do your COVID test for everyone, which
on the outside might seem like a massive inconvenience, but the plus side is it keeps everybody safe.
Yep.
And it gives you 15 minutes to hang out with people.
Yeah, exactly. It was very enjoyable chatting with people and learning about there's a stag party here who rearranged their stag from last year to this year. Yeah. And there's a whole bunch of people coming as families. There's a few people coming just as a pair. A few people come of literally knowing nobody.
That's me.
Yeah, there you go. A few people sort of posted on the Facebook group saying, like, I'm coming this weekend and I'm coming by myself. You know, I just want to say hello. And like 20, 30 people said, hi, come and find us. We're over at this, or, you know. And no one comes to Swordpunk by themselves, because by the time they get here, they're not by themselves anymore.
Yeah.
It's one of my favourite things about it. Because I first came by myself.
Oh, really?
Well, pretty much. Santi was the one who told me I had to come because swords and spears and stuff. Yeah. And then it turns out that Dan is from my hometown, and I ended up taking Dan's sword fighting lessons in Leeds and getting to know the whole crew. And yeah, then and I came as a punter the first time, and then I come as an instructor 7 times in a row since then.
And you're pretty much part of the family now.
Yeah, I think everyone's part of the family pretty quick. But yeah, I'm very proud to say that I'm part of the family, and I love it here. It's amazing. I've missed it so much.
I've noticed that lots of people, like folks wearing the purple armbands, they seem to wear loads of different hats. Literally in your case.
Yep, literally in my case.
What are you teaching this year?
This year I'm teaching juggling, starting with one ball, moving to two and moving to three, staff spinning, hat manipulation, and Diablo.
Excellent. Well, it's lovely to meet you, Russ.
Very nice to meet you too. Can I dive in and say Ross with an O, not Russ with a U?
Oh, sorry, Ross.
No worries.
It's accents. I do apologise.
No, it's totally fine. Everyone gets it wrong first time.
Thank you. So I'm here with Brian Tunstall from the Night Shop, who has been coming to Swordpunk regularly, haven't you?
For the last 5 years, yeah.
And what are you doing here this year? Just come for a bit of downtime, you said.
Ultimately, yeah, mainly downtime. It's such a tranquil sort of vibe around here and that. It's, just to chill more than anything.
So, I mean,
yeah.
Like, the vibe at Swordpunk is just very chilled, and even for people from the sword community, it's almost like a time off, isn't it?
Very much so, yeah. And then in the evening, the fire show is just like nothing you've ever seen before. It's completely unreal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm unfortunately going to have to miss that because I've got to duck out after my last class. But just tell us what happens in the shows in the evening.
It's impossible.
It's impossible
you have to be here to see
it.
I do it an injustice by trying to describe it to you now. Yeah. So, the only way to see it is to actually be here.
And you said you were doing some axe and knife throwing earlier. Tell us about that.
Oh, it's just brilliant. It's like a roller coaster of emotions, which you don't get with the likes of Hema. You know, Hema's quite clinical and you learn moves and that, whereas throwing knives at things, you're slightly at the wrong distance or your technique's slightly off. Yeah, everything just goes.
It's interesting to see these activities, which are like, unlike Hema, they're not oppositional. It's just you and the bit of wood.
Yeah, very much so, yeah. Yeah.
And that is just that focus, and it's so relaxed. You're disagreeing with me there.
Yeah, it can be.
Yeah.
When things are going right, and when they go wrong, it's anything but relaxing. Yeah. It can be one of the most frustrating things ever.
And you can hear the whips going off in the background because they have a bullwhip cracking class as well. Have you
tried that last time? Yeah, but with a hangover, and we ended up like slicing our faces open and things.
Oh dear.
As well. Yeah,
coordination was off.
just a little, yeah. So,
what are your plans for this afternoon and this evening?
Chill out, and then the fire show.
Awesome.
And Nathan, yeah.
Right, lovely to talk to you. Thank you for coming on, and I'll see you soon.
Always a pleasure.
I'm here in the Shattered Shield, the bar at Swordpunk, with
at lunchtime
people are queuing up for their soup and sandwiches, and we're just getting heavily refreshed. So I'm here with Sally and Ange and Dan, the man behind it all. So thank you very much for inviting me along, Dan.
Thanks for coming.
I want to ask you, I've been desperate to ask you, like, how did you come up with the idea?
Well, it was after a couple of years of crewing for a festival stage and many years of sword fighting, I decided I wanted to combine all the things I like doing without having to take loads of holiday and work for nothing for other people's festivals.
Yeah.
So, I thought, I'll try and combine it. Didn't think it would go anywhere. The first event was really small. It was for 30 people, but it did all right. And then I had a break, came back and decided to try and do it properly, and it's sort of grown from there.
So it started off small, from small beginnings.
Yeah.
Was the original Saw Punk here?
Yeah, it's always been here.
It's always been here. Yeah. And tell us about the venue, how that all came about.
Well, that came about through me coming to a festival that was here prior to us. I was invited by somebody that I've taught sword fighting to for quite a few years. He set up his own company, and he used to go around festivals doing sword fighting and various combat demos. And one of them was he wanted to put on a Victorian bare knuckle boxing show, and he thought I'd be suited to it. He invited me down. I was like, oh yeah, festival, all I've got to do is pretend to have a fight with my mate, and it'd be fine. So I came down, and that's how I first came here. And me and Sal became friends with Zed and Susie pretty quick after that.
Yeah, and they own the land.
So Zed and Susie, sort of a firm friendship.
Absolutely, yeah. They're like family. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're like really close.
Because like when I came through the gate, I was like, oh, look, you've got the banners up. I guess you put your banners there. And then I saw like the Saw Punk logo on everything. It's like, no, this is actually their venue. Like this is, you've literally got your stamp on everything. So Ange, the barkeep at Shattered Shield, tell me what keeps you coming back to Sword Punk.
Booze.
So we've got some really, mead on sale.
Dan knows a secret about me.
Okay.
That he's holding over my head.
Yeah.
And okay. So he's basically
you're a slave.
Yeah, well, yeah, he's blackmailing me basically.
I've got this. Yeah. There's so much.
So yeah, that's it really.
I've heard some really good things about the mead and the rum. Is what's on offer?
Loads of like locally brewed mead and liqueurs. So we've got five different types of mead, and then there's like banana liqueur, banana rum, coconut rum, like loads of different rums that they brew themselves. And apparently, it's really nice.
Apparently,
she wouldn't know.
It. No, you're more of the beer.
No, I'm a lager lout.
And what have we got here? We've got some local ciders.
I don't know where they come from. So you've got strawberry cider, rhubarb cider, and just a normal classic cider. So it's quite a variety for such a small kind of venue as well, which is quite nice.
I was really impressed by not only how well provided the event is, but everything seems to be really sustainable as well. So you've got like there's virtually no plastic.
Absolutely.
Everyone's encouraged to bring their own plates and bowls and cups and stuff like that. And you've got of course the composting loos, which people who aren't familiar with composting toilets might turn their nose up at. But having been to events with the old smelly porta loos, I can confirm that they are amazing. I'd heartily recommend them.
Very well built as well. One of our crew members made them for us. Master craftsman.
And so, Sally, you are obviously like the heart behind the whole thing as well, whereas Dan and you work together as a partnership.
Absolutely, yeah. So I do a lot of the kind of infrastructure stuff, organising people and printing off signs and doing all the bits behind the scenes, really.
Yeah. So you're permanently plugged in with your earpiece there.
Yeah.
And managing the event.
Managing the event.
Absolutely, yeah.
Just a little thing.
It's
like
not
that.
A small undertaking.
Yeah, I'm teaching my first workshop this one as well. It's the first time I've done that, so it's exciting.
So tell us about the workshop. It's like a Bayer tapestry type thing.
Yeah, so I've recently worked on a community project up in Yorkshire for Keighley Pride, where we got members of the community to make... to embroider patches that told their story or celebrated their LGBTQ+ inspirations. And I was basically promoting it on the Sword Punk Facebook page, and one of our kind of the people who come said, well, when can we do this at Sword Punk? And I thought, oh, what a brilliant idea. So we're going to be creating different individual patches. I've got some that are like ready-made templates for people to copy, or they can do their own.
and eventually I'll collect them all in, and we're just going to start making it into a big kind of hanging
artwork.
Exactly, that will just hopefully keep growing each event.
And where's that going to be kept?
It'll be kept, we keep all of our stuff on site, but then it will just get hung up at each event.
Lovely.
And hopefully it will work, people will see it growing. So I'm going to collect them all in, and then over the winter I'll put them all together into an actual thing that can be added to. Yeah,
so Sword Punk is usually in the summer, is that right?
Well, we actually do it twice a year usually, one in May and one in September, so it's like beginning of end of festival season.
Right.
Yeah.
And COVID obviously you know, messed with everybody's plans.
Yep.
And I was saying to Ross, who was one of your instructors that I met when I first pulled up, you got that added layer of sort of testing everyone as they come in, which is great because it gives that sort of feeling of security. You know, everyone who's in here has been tested.
Yeah, it's really important to us to make sure everybody's safe. And even though, because originally I'd said that people have to turn up with a proof of a test, like via the NHS app or whatever. But
just doing it on the door is probably the best.
You know, and the beautiful thing about the community is that everybody understands because they're respectful of it and they want to protect each other as well, so you know, it hasn't been a problem.
And in fact, they were saying it's lovely having that 15 minutes to get to know each person as they come in. You get to hang out with them. So all three of you, thank you so much for talking to me. I'm looking forward to my time here, and thank you for inviting me along.
Thanks ever so much.
Thanks for coming.
Cheers, fam.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. To show your appreciation, please give us a 5-star review on your podcast platform, or support our work by becoming a patron at patreon.com/swordwomen. Go to @swordwomen on Instagram to see upcoming interviews, or visit buythesword.net to learn about our events, or visit our Facebook page, By the Sword.